Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming is alongside. Good morning to you, lady. So you're getting rid of some of the bad guys quicker and quicker, huh? But we keep hearing bodies keep piling up.
I know.
Quicker and quicker.
Yeah, it was a very bad weekend for Humboldt County.
Yeah, well, or perhaps not. And we'll talk about that. But before we do our quote this morning, a Hebrew proverb. I don't go deep in Hebrew proverbs, so this one's pretty cool, though. Do not confine your children to your own learning, for they were born in another time.
Very good point.
Now we can talk about this weekend, and there's a little substance to it, huh?
How in tune or current are you with the information that goes on during an investigation?
We are notified immediately. I receive phone calls over the weekend to discuss updates. We also assist law enforcement by reviewing search warrants as those are being written for the various cases. And then we also are available to assist as far as we have DA investigators who will go out, because sometimes it's so important in those first, you know, couple of hours to have every free person available to start knocking on doors, start contacting people, start going through the evidence, following up on leads, checking cell phones, all of those sorts of things that is very time sensitive.
So they're in early. Did they get the call and did they run out to Hiapom?
Yes.
Bam, and they're part of that initial investigative team?
Actually, I shouldn't say they ran out there. I know that we were involved here working on warrants and assisting with information.
Okay, maybe they didn't answer their phone. Granted.
They did. They did answer their phone. Right. So I got called. The chief investigator gets called right away. He contacts me. We discuss the case. And then, you know, if the agency asks for our assist, we make DA investigators available.
Are there that many investigators in the county?
Detectives? You mean with law enforcement agencies?
Yeah. Yes. All the agencies, yes. Plus your guys, yes. A dozen maybe total?
No, more than a dozen. We've got 9 full-time investigators in our office. The sheriff's department has...
You got 9?
9.
Whoa. Okay. So somebody's always around.
Yes.
That's kind of what I was getting to.
Yes.
You know, if you had one or two and they were both out of town.
Yes. No, we always have someone available. The chief's always available by phone, and then we make investigators available to assist.
Okay, you said chief. Who's chief?
Chief Wayne Cox. He's the chief investigator for the DA's office. Sorry.
Is he still doing the motorcycle thing?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure it hasn't gotten to his head yet.
No.
So all these various events that we've had in the last week, what, 3, 4, something like that?
Yes.
We hear about how things get jammed up in the courtroom. Does that jam things up in the back room also?
The courtroom is jammed up once the case is solved and presented to the DA's office. So currently some cases are open.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, the concept of investigating crimes is one thing. Prosecuting is what we normally end up talking about, or
right.
I guess the adjudication or completion of that. For every hour in the courtroom, how many hours of prep are there?
So just, you know, for example, just for the attorney, particularly like if you're on trial and you're presenting evidence, I would say easily 2 to 3 hours. But that's just for that, literally to prepare for that 1 hour. That's not counting perhaps hundreds of hours you've put in before to get through everything, to go to the police department and review all the evidence. Sometimes with major cases, deputy DAs are involved from the moment we learn of the crime. I try to, you know, whether it be a homicide or a vehicular manslaughter or, for example, with our sexual assault cases, the deputy DA who's going to be assigned the case is involved early on. So they can be spending a lot of time even before the case is charged. And then once it's charged, there's all that follow through. And again, that involves a lot of the DA investigators. Once the case comes to the DA's office, it becomes ours. And so law enforcement will assist us, but the primary responsibility for follow-up falls to the DA investigators, which is their responsibility.
So there's no rule of thumb or formula. You say, okay, if it's a DUI, homicide. Okay, that's going to average X number of hours of staff time. And this, like this double homicide thing, okay, when those come through, that's going to obviously take more time, but you start allocating staff time as a resource as well as other aspects.
There is no formula, and I think, you know, murder is a really good example because I've tried a number of murder cases, and you can have a murder case that's maybe 2 or 3 citizens and 2 or 3 officers, or you can have a murder case that's 50 witnesses. So a jury coming in can be told, oh, this is a murder case, we estimate 2 to 3 weeks, or they can be told, we estimate 6 months. It really is a case-by-case situation.
So how do you determine that estimation?
With the number of, when we're talking about for jury, we know at the beginning how many witnesses we think we're going to be calling, as does the defense. We present them with a list of witnesses, and we can say to a judge, based upon our witnesses, what we believe the testimony is going to be, we think it'll take us 3 weeks, full days, to present our case. And the defense will say, well, I have a couple of experts, I have a couple of witnesses, I think my case will be a week. And then we add on, you know, the 1 to 2 weeks we think for jury selection, the 1 to 2 weeks for closing argument and deliberations, and that's how we come up with the estimate.
How close do you get?
I've always been pretty close because you can. You can sort of look down the road and figure out, ooh, I've got 4 experts. One of them's DNA evidence. One of them's blood evidence. And then, you know, sort of looking at all your civilian witnesses. And I try when I first start to lay out an actual calendar of how I'm going to present the case from start to finish. And that really helps the DA investigator sort of look down the road as well and figure out, you know, how we're going to put this together.
So you do that as an individual attorney?
Yes.
Or you do that as the head of the attorneys and you lay it out for each case and kind of overlay the department?
So I do that for the initial part because I do the charging, I do the witness list for the preliminary hearing. I'm making a decision up front. Ooh, should we put on all the civilians involved in this? Or do we think we can count on them to come to trial, whether or not we put them on a preliminary hearing? But for the actual trial, the person who's going to try that case does that. They do come in and we talk quite a bit about that, sort of, you know, how much evidence you're going to need in this case, how are we going to get those experts here? Those sorts of questions are something we discuss. But it really is up to the individual attorneys looking at their case.
You mentioned the expert witnesses, whether they're from the left side or the right side of the trial. How challenging is it to get them plugged in, or someone, if it's not the person you're looking for, plugged into the calendar as you are attempting to lay this thing out?
It can be really challenging because experts frequently are testifying in a number of counties over a series of weeks. And this is one area where I've really appreciated the courts returning to the all-day trials. Back when we were doing half-day trials, I had a case that involved, it was a serial sexual violent predator, and it was basically 2 expert witnesses. One of them, we were flying in, her flight was delayed, she got rerouted, and we had to go dark all morning. And then because I told her we're not in session in the afternoons, she basically went back home and we had to rebook her time. So we had dark days because we couldn't get the expert here.
And you need the sequence.
Yes. And so going all day, at least you can say to the jury, we apologize, we're going to send you home, but please return at 1 o'clock when the witness will be, hopefully,
this
at
is not,
the airport.
This is not dismissal.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one issue that we really see with all-day trials that's been helpful.
How often does a case come to conclusion like the little kid in the Midwest where there's an arrest? I mean, 27 years certainly is a cold case by anybody's standards. Something else happens and the guy says, yeah, okay, it was me. I mean, that seems weird.
It does happen. I had a really old murder case one time where before the investigators said goodbye to him 20-some years ago, they said, this is going to weigh on your conscience. And 20-some years later, he walked into a different police department because he'd moved out of the area and said, I need to talk to these two detectives in Humboldt County. I have something I want to tell them. And he confessed to the murder. And he pled before preliminary hearing to first-degree murder and went off to do his time. And it really did. It was something that affected him his whole life.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What do we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Talk Shop presented by Redek and by CVH Painting. Maggie, I guess you're not going home early tonight, huh? Is that kind of what
No.
the upshot of this thing is?
That's right. Tonight, Senator Mike McGuire is going to have a town hall meeting at Eureka High School in the cafeteria. And I'll be on the panel along with Fire Chief Bill Gillespie, Chief Andy Mills, the sheriff, actually, I think it's going to be the undersheriff, Billy Hansel. Caltrans will be there as well. Charlie Fielder will be there. Trying to remember. Oh, some of the supervisors will be there. I'm not sure exactly which supervisor is going to be on the panel.
So I could be in the back row and make faces, and nobody would know who I'm making faces at, huh? Because everybody would think it was them.
I'm going to give you the wrong time.
You're on notice now.
Yeah. For everyone else, it's 6:30 to 8:30.
Yeah, yeah. Show up around midnight.
Right. You should be there at 9. But I, you know, he had one once before in McKinleyville. It was really well attended. And what I appreciated was a lot of good questions from the public, a lot of people who had some concerns. In fact, one man I remember gave me his phone number, and it was great because we were able to look into something that he was questioning, you know, sort of what had happened with this process. And but it's really good, and I appreciate it too because I learn a lot sitting there with the other panelists. They talk, each person's invited a couple of minutes to speak about sort of current status of their office or their department, and then also sort of the impact of various things, including, you know, what have you done with Measure Z funds, those sorts of questions. So it's, I think it's a really informative process, and I appreciate the town hall meeting and that Senator McGuire set this up.
So obviously there's a theme here of law enforcement or public safety. I mean, I'm not hearing Public Works is there.
I know, I guess it is,
or
primarily
some of the others.
Public safety, yes. Caltrans, yes.
What do you expect the questions to be about?
Well, last time it was pretty varied, you know, because the panel, even though, you know, I guess it is primarily public safety, it is sort of a variety of people in different departments. So the questions ran the gamut. I do think one issue that we're seeing right now that's at the forefront is sort of the mental health concerns and what's going on with that, as well as some of the issues we're seeing in our community with homelessness.
It really doesn't fall into your auspices, does it?
The mental health is a critical piece, I think, to how we're trying to cope with some of the criminal violations we're seeing.
Okay. Now, I have heard from multiple sources. I don't like being a news guy, but every once in a while I love using some of the phrases. Multiple highly placed sources. That counties to our south, but north of Santa Cruz, are still using the one-way ticket to get homeless and to get mental health out of their communities and into Humboldt's. Is there any legal issue associated with that, or is that purely ethics?
I would say, I mean, I can't really box it down to one or the other. I do think it's an ethical concern. I would have to say, though, legally, you would want to be sure that wherever that person was going, there was going to be some care provided to them. So, for example, the transportation assistance program, we have to, before we have someone who's put on a bus in Humboldt County, because we're assisting them to get home to Kansas or LA or whatever it is, we are to be in contact with someone there. So in other words, if someone says, hey, I came here from Kansas, you know, but I have family in this town, the idea is the call is made to make sure that someone there is going to be available for this person when they get off the bus. Because I think that that's what's important, is the notion is you're going to a place where people are going to be able to assist you, either because you have family there, you have ties there, you have some community support where you're going. And that is something that I think people should make sure is going to happen.
If you're doing it for that purpose, if you're doing it to get them out of the community.
Yes.
That's a whole different standard.
Right.
But I like the pregnant pause. Maybe you don't want me there even at 9 o'clock tonight, huh?
Yeah, 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's about when the cleanup crew comes in.
All the cookies will be gone by then.
Is there, in other parts of the state, trends that either we're in front of or that have yet to hit our shores that the senator may be aware of that he'll be talking about tonight?
I think he's definitely really good for looking at trends throughout counties. He represents so many counties. I mean, it really is a phenomenal district from that point of view. And I really appreciate how much time he has spent here in Humboldt County, and I can only imagine that he's, you know, really got sort of a good understanding of each county he represents because of his commitment to getting out and being in the community, similar to Jim Wood. I really appreciate both of them as far as their accessibility. If I have an issue, if I'm aware of some legislation that's going through that I have concerns about for how it'd impact Humboldt County, and I call them, they're always really great about getting right back to me. And I just really think how much time they have spent here in Humboldt County is pretty impressive.
So you're anticipating they're going to be sponges rather than being presenters?
I think both. I think Mike's good at not only sort of hearing the concerns, but also presenting information and talking about how it's being addressed in other communities, in other counties.
Successfully, hopefully.
One of the issues that I think is kind of interesting is he represents one of the richest counties, and he has some of the poorest counties in his district. So I'm sure he sees trends and how they're being addressed, but I know, you know, as everyone else does, that unfortunately some of the problems that need to be addressed, it's a funding issue. You know, you look at one of the concerns I have is mental health in the outlying areas. I know we're not reaching as far as we could be or should be, and I know it's a funding issue.
It's really sad about it.
Yeah.
But so's the roads, so's everything
right.
else. So.
Right.
Does Marin County have the same degree or extent of challenges that we do?
And I don't know. I think that'd be a good question for Mike. I don't know. I know when I travel, I've seen a definite change in observations of people with clearly mental health problems or seeing sort of the homeless people. You know, you don't go anywhere in any city anymore and not see a huge homeless population. And I really don't think it was quite like this 20 or 30 years ago in California.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, if folks do want to go to this town hall meeting, if it's being held in the auditorium?
It's in the cafeteria at Eureka High School tonight from 6:30 to 8:30.
About 250, 300 people, max?
Yes, yes.
Okay. How long is it?
6:30 to 8:30.
Hopefully you don't get too many long-windeds like me. Get five questions and that's it during 2 hours. Particularly by the time you get I don't know. Are you a politician or are you a law?
I'm the district
person?
Attorney.
Yeah. Okay. So a little of each. Yeah. Okay. You get four politicians in a room and say that we only have 2 hours to talk here, guys. They're all going to feel a little constrained.
You know, Mike McGuire runs a pretty tight ship. So we're each given.
Yeah, but Bone doesn't.
We're each given about 5 minutes to talk. And then I think it's 3 to 5 minutes for questions. And then he opens it up after everybody's had that opportunity. So it's good because it really is sort of information's presented and then people can question.
Is there anything that you're looking to get out of this meeting? Other than 8:31?
I appreciate hearing some of the state perspective that he brings to the meeting, you know, sort of talking about, as you were saying, sort of trends and issues that he's seeing in other counties and where he sort of sees perhaps us headed, you know, looking at it from the state perspective.
Is anybody indicating positiveness? There's good stuff happening. There's something going on. There's some department statewide that stepped up. Anything? Or is it more of the same and what was us in dealing with homelessness?
I think the homelessness as well as the mental health issue is something that people are very concerned with. And so people are trying to address it. I know we are looking at, we applied with a number of other departments for a grant to bring in another mental health worker to help us with some of our cases. So I definitely think we're trying to solve that issue.
Thanks for coming by. Have fun tonight.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.